Isaiah chapter 30. And I want to read beginning in verse 8. Isaiah chapter 30 and in verse 8. Now go write it in before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come and forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say unto the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out as a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Let's ask God for help today. Our Father, we're thankful to be in the house of God this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that we're free. We're thankful, God, that we're well enough to be in the house of God. And Lord, I do pray tonight, today, for those, Lord, that are suffering from the flooding just a few miles away from us. And Lord, we ask you to help them in a special way. God, they've lost everything. Many of them have lost everything, including family and deaths and so forth. And I pray for them, Lord. And I ask God you'd have mercy, that Lord, you'd send the help they need. And Lord, I pray you'd meet with us today now. We need you too. And Lord, we ask that you'd walk among us and help us. I pray if there's one that's lost today, they'd be saved. I pray, Father, for one that's indifferent and cold, that God, you'd warm them up again, get them back in the service of God. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look, while you hold your place in Isaiah 30, I want you to look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4 just a minute. Get a companion passage here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to read verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I want to preach a while this morning on smooth things, fables, and old wives' tales. Smooth things, fables, and old wives' tales. Because that's what the world wants today. They like that. The Jews here, the Jews begin to ask the prophets, they said, look, we're going to tell you what to do, and here's what we want. People come to church and they feel like they're in a restaurant, that they can just kind of program in what they want, and the preacher can preach it, and they say, well, we pay him, he'll preach to us, and that's what we want. That doesn't work that way. The preacher ought to preach what God gives him, am I right or not? Now, you may as well help me today, because I'm going to come down the middle of you and I'll preach anyway. It doesn't matter to me. But I'm just saying to you that the Jews said, here's what we want you to do. I had a friend of mine that took a church one time, and the deacon told him, said, we'll give you a list of things that to preach on and a list of things not to preach on. Well, I'd have told him adios right that time, but I'd have preached to him one time and then left with the place on fire. But I'm just saying to you that the Jews were so backslid that they came to the prophet and said, here's what we want you to preach and here's what we don't want you to preach. But they hadn't counted on one thing. Look down your Bible, look down at Isaiah 30, and pick up down in verse 8. He said, now go write it before them in a book, and a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for this time to come forever and ever. He said, he told the preacher, said, I want you to write it down, and I want a record made of what these people said. And he told the prophet to write it down, and he said that thing was going to be forever and ever. Sometimes we don't recognize the fact that God has a pretty good memory. There are records kept. The Bible said at the white throne judgment of God, the books were open, and another book was open, was the book of life, and they were judged that those things are written in the books. We forget about that. And so God said, all right, I heard what you said. You read Malachi sometime. God kept telling the Jews, and you said, and you said, and you said. God had a record of it. And sometimes even we stuff we say in secret and private, guess what? God has a record of it. I think it's funny whenever these crooks, they can get by with something and there's a video recorded that's already recorded their act. We forget they're there. And God has that recorder. God has that ability to write it down. And he said, I want you to write down what they've said to you in a book, in a table, and record it forever. Notice the second thing down here. Notice the rebellion they desired. These people wanted rebellion. Look down at Jeremiah chapter 30 and pick up verse 9. He said, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Now, God said here, he said, these are rebels. If you look in your Bible, the word rebel, not rebellious, but the word rebel is found 13 times in the Bible. Anybody know what 13 is? It's the devil's number. 13 times. A rebel, he said, is in the Bible 13 times. And look down, please, in Isaiah chapter 63. Why are you in the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 63. The Bible said now they were rebelling against God. They just absolutely openly rebelled against God. Look at Isaiah chapter 63. And notice that down here, please, in verse 10. Isaiah chapter 63 in verse 10. The Bible said, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy and they might and fought against them. God has a way of dealing with rebels. He fights against them, becomes their enemy. And they rebelled. And they said, we're not going to do what God said, and we're not going to listen. One of the things that you see in children a lot of times is rebellion, don't you? You tell them to do something, and they're not going to do it. They say, I'm not going to do it. There are a lot of people, I have never figured this thing out in all the years of ministry. There are some people who come to church every Sunday with the mindset, I ain't going to believe nothing the preacher said. And I ain't going to do what God said. I'm just going to be here. I'm going to push my lips out. And I'm going to be opposite. I'm going to stiff my back out. I never could figure it out. Why would you come? I'd go to the golf course. I'd go out and get drunk, do something else, do something fun. Why would you want to come to church already full of rebellion and hell and not do what God wants you to do? We ought to come with an open mind and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you show me, I'll do it. So he said here, they were rebellious. They were rebellious people. They would not listen. Husbands have been accused of having selective hearing, and I guess we are guilty. We have to get in order about that because some things we don't want to hear. And the Bible said here, he said, I want you to put it in a book. I want you to record that. And he said, I want you to understand that these people, I look on them as rebels, as rebels. But here's the third thing. Notice the ridiculous things they begin to describe, the things they described that they wanted to hear. Look back at Isaiah chapter 30 and at verse 10. He said, would say to the seers, see not. A seer is like a prophet that sees ahead in the future. Thank God for them in the Bible. We had them in the Bible. They showed the future. And this bunch said here, we don't want them to tell us what's coming down the road. We don't want to hear about the future. We don't want to hear about judgment coming. We just want to hear smooth things. We want to hear there that a utopia is going to be ushered in, that we're going to get better and better, and we're going to usher in a utopia. Neighbor, the exact opposite happened. The Bible said the world's going to get worse and worse, and judgment's coming our way. And the Bible said here, he said the ridiculous things they were asking for. Just ridiculous. They said, look, we don't want to hear about it. We don't want the seers to see. We don't want the prophets to prophesy. Why was that? They didn't like what they had to say. They didn't like the outcome. The men of God would stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. That's why churches get rid of the Bible. That's why people come to church and what they hear now is little stories. Little stories about the Bible. Neighbor, let me tell you something. The Bible said the Word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It didn't say the story was. It said the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And that's why we put so much emphasis on the Word of God here. But he said here, they asked for ridiculous things. Look down at Isaiah chapter 30 in verse 10. He said, would say to the seers, see not. To the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. They said, we don't even want it. We don't have to be. We just want you to make up something. Make us feel good. Man, we are in a feel good generation, aren't we? I read about a church the other day. It's coming. I mean, it's coming down the road. They got together and they decided that the people in the church wanted seats that massaged their back while they're sitting in church. And so they spent about hundreds of thousands of dollars buying seats in the big auditorium with massagers on it. And heaters on it. And little things you could raise your feet up and sit back. Huh? Why, man, why, we just come to church and we expect the same comforts all. You would not have been happy in the old-time church that had wooden benches and a wood stove in the middle of the thing and no air conditioning. But I'm going to tell you something. That's where the power of God was in those churches right there. And the power of God's left these other places because it's all about make me feel good. Make me feel good, Brother Dave. No, I ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do it. We need the Word of God. And he said down here, he said, we don't want to know about the future. And we don't want you to tell us the truth. Let me tell you something. Preachers that will not tell the truth will have the blood of that congregation on their hands. That Bible said, but Ezekiel said, I want you to get on that wall. I want you to be blow that trumpet. I want you to be a lookout. I want you to be a warn. I want you to warn my people. And he said, if you don't do that, their blood will be on your hands. And the preacher is supposed to lift up his voice like a trumpet and cry aloud and spare not, what the Bible says. The Bible said, they said, we don't want the future. We don't want to see what the future is. Tonight we're going to study the future. It's not for us. We're not going to be here when we read Matthew 24. It's all about tribulation. But people said, I don't want to hear about any discomfort I might have to have. They're making cars now. Cars now that have heated steering wheels and cooled steering wheels. They make cars now where the back seat reclines and you have your own set of headsets and you got your own TV back there and you sit back there and just like all the comforts at home. The world wants that stuff. The world has to have that stuff. We want to be stroked. Don't you know who we are, Brother Dave? Don't you understand we need to be stroked? You just can't preach to us anyway. Never mind tell you something. The best friend you ever had is an old time preacher that'll tell you the truth, thank God. I'm so sick of all these little Casper milk toasts that will not preach. Sissies, worried about what the church is going to think, what the people are going to think. Give them the Word of God. That's the important thing. When the day I got saved, that old man of God looked me right in the eye and told me I was going to hell, and I knew it, thank God. I'm glad for him. I didn't like him then. I wanted to cold cock him at the end of the service, but I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad that I came back again, and the Spirit of God just conquered me and showed me Jesus Christ. The Bible said here, don't tell us right things. They said we want smooth things. Our seminaries and our Bible schools, for the main part, are turning out smooth preachers, right. Silver tongue. Man, you got a certain amount of stories you can tell, and man, you're slick, and oh, they'll give you all kinds of money. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not what we need. We don't need smooth things. We don't need silver tongue. We've had enough of that. We need some old-fashioned Billy Sundays that'll preach against liquor. We need some old-time people that'll stand up for the Word of God, some D.L. Moody's, all the rest of that, that'll bring the power of God down with thunder. That's what we need down this country. We got too much of those silver tongues. And they're the ones on TV and radio taking your money. Come on. The Bible said here, and you got people... You got people that they'll come through and they're church tasters. They'll come and sit back there and say, okay, now bless me if you can, you know. And they'll find one little thing they didn't like. They didn't like the color of the carpet, didn't like the color of the didn't like the song, didn't like what the preacher said. Any little thing, say, well, I'm writing that off. They're not a Bible believing church, really. Really. Well, I'll tell you what. People say, I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, if you get there, don't join it, because it'll be a mess sure as this world. Perfect church, my foot. Perfect preacher, my foot. Come on. Oh, y'all dying on me now. I can see that. Get him, Brother Mark. I'll turn Brother Mark loose. He'll preach to you. The Bible said here, he said, preach unto us smooth things. And then he said this. Look down here, please, in verse 10. He said, prophesy deceits. In other words, stuff is made up. Stuff that doesn't mean anything. There are a lot of people that go to church and they say, man, what a sermon. And the guy didn't give them any Bible at all. He gave them all kinds of stories about old dog Trey getting hung up in the fence and mess like that. Didn't give them any Bible. Maybe you didn't get anything if you didn't get any Bible. And we don't want deceit. The world is full of deceit. The world is full of liars. We don't need liars in church. We need somebody to tell us the God of truth, the Bible said. I thank God for that. I've heard this story all my life since I've been a little boy about my dad's grandpa. Would have been my great-grandpa, I guess. And Grandpa Garland, he was over in Clay County, Kentucky. He was a Baptist preacher. And that old man, he just knew two speeds, setting still and wide open, they said. I never met him. And they said one morning, he was up preaching. He put a lot of emphasis on the Word of God. One room, little country church house, stone church house back under them sticks and hollers there someplace. Had an old outhouse in the back. And he got up, he was preaching, had his coat took off, and he rolled his shirt sleeves up back then. And man, he was just letting them have it. He was preaching and sweating. And all of a sudden, he stopped. He wasn't feeling good. He came to church about half sick with his stomach. He said, and he put his coat back on and said, we'll be right back. He went over the hill to the outhouse, came back up, took his coat off, rolled his sleeve, and said, now we're good now. And he took off again right for everyone. That's what we need. We need somebody that'll preach that doesn't care about what the Greek said about it, or doesn't care what Dr. So-and-so said about it. Just preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. But this crowd of Jews didn't want it, and this modern generation doesn't want it. They don't want it. They want, we want to be entertained. I like entertainment too, but if I'm going to go to church, I don't particularly want to be entertained. I want to hear the Word of God. The Bible said here, he said, we don't want all that. The ridiculous things that they wanted. But here is the thing that's the biggest curse. Look at your Bibles again at verse 11. Notice the rejection of God here. The rejection of God. Down in verse 11, he said, they said to God, they spoke to the Lord, get thou out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They said, God, get out of our way. We don't want you in our churches. We don't want you in our synagogue. We've got our plans. We've got our stuff. We don't want you. Get out of the way. But let me tell you something. When you get to that place, you are in danger of hellfire. You mark that down. Get out of my way. We don't want God. We don't want God. Notice down here in verse 12. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel. They spoke to the Holy One of Israel. That was God Almighty. Now he's going to talk back to them. Wherefore saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise the word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity, shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out on a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly as in an instant. You ever see a wall that you built and it had a bow in it? It got bowed out. It's going to fall. That bow is going to weaken the wall, and that wall is going to fall. And he said, that's what my judgment's going to be like. He said, my judgment is going to be like that wall is bowed out. And when you're walking by one day, it's going to fall and crush you. Why is that? Because he said, God, get out of here. We don't want you around. Listen to me. Laodicea, the Laodicean church said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. That's the picture of Jesus Christ standing outside the church. There's a church in the morning. The average church doesn't want Jesus. They got their program. They got their little entertainers. They've got their paid preacher. They got all that. But neighbor, you and I have an opportunity to do something different here. We have an old-fashioned church. We may not be big, but thank God we're strong. And we have a chance to make a difference in this world if we don't go down the wrong road. The Bible said here, get out of the way, God. I got my plans. Any of you, I don't want to see hands because you'll be just like me. Any of you as a young person ever say, I know what I'm going to do. I don't need my parents. I've got plans for my life. Dad, don't talk. Don't preach to me. Mom, I've heard it all. I got plans. I got plans for me. Yeah, I said that one time too. I got out of high school and I said, I'm moving out. I don't like the rules here. Dad said, fine. There's the door, what's your hurry? That was his favorite term. There's the door, what's your hurry? So I got a buddy of mine that wouldn't work, and we decided we was going to get an apartment together. Well, I was the only one working. So guess who paid the rent, and guess who bought it on? About 3 weeks into having to wash our own clothes, cook our own meals, and this dummy blood-sucking me, I said, this ain't working out. So I got back home, I said, could I come home? Dad said, you can come home, but he said, the rules are still here. You by my rules. My little plans didn't work out. They were a train wreck. And after I got saved, I found out that God has a plan for me, that my plan doesn't have to match anybody else. My plan better match God's plan because he bought me with a price. That's what the Bible said. Look at Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Romans, the first chapter. Look down, please, at verse 24. Romans chapter 1. Now, if you're a little bit thin-skinned, you probably should find your earbuds and put them in and listen to your whatever you listen to. Romans chapter 1. Because the analogy is here, the correlation is here, you can't miss it. In verse 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that were not convenient. The Bible said here that they wanted to, the Jews wanted fables. They wanted to hear fables. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that in these last days people are going to want fables. What's a fable? A fable is a story that's made up that has no relevance to the scripture. It's just a fable, just a story. But people would rather have that. And the number of fables this generation believes is staggering. For an example, they believe that this world came from amoebas and that a big bang happened somewhere, and over many years it evolved. You and I that know God and know His Word believe that God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Because that's what the Bible said. But the fable goes on. The fable said over years that that man has transitioned and he's changed, and now you have what you have. You have all this magnificent machine called the Bible. You have the world and all this, ecology things, all the things that keep this world running and moving. All of that is there. Neighbor, let me tell you something. That just doesn't happen. That just didn't come from a big bang. God's hands made every bit of it, what the Bible said. Fable. They believe the fable that it's okay for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. That's a fable. That's not what God said. God said He made them male and female, made them husband and wife. That's what the scripture said. Right. Huh? But the world said, well, we want to have laws that give us the right to marry who we want to. Really? We want the right to murder babies. Really? That's a fable. You have no such right. I have no such right. You have no right to murder babies. You have no right to murder babies in the womb that haven't had a chance to have a life yet and be able to be a function in this society. They remember tell you something, that this is fables. People all the time believe fables, and they march in the streets to uphold a fable. But when you stand up and you say, the Bible said this, they throw you out. Same-sex marriage. Gender transition, all the other business. I have people in our immediate family that are in the medical field, doctors. We have one doctor, and she married in her family. Smart girl. Have several nurses in the family. They keep up with their studies. And they said a child that is born, maybe with both pairs of sex organs, is rare. It's not a large amount of people compared to the number of people in the streets that want to bring into law. And they said there's treatments for them. The way they help them, thank God they should, and they ain't ought to. But here you got people that are saying, you know, I don't know what gender I am. I don't know whether I'm a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. Really? Really? Come on. Somebody said, well, but I think I identify as a cat. Some kid the other day said he thought they were a cat. Get him a litter box. I don't know what to do. I just don't know. But the crazy world said we got to accommodate them. The world has gone nuts, people, because they want fables. They want fairy tales. They want somebody to make them feel good, and they walk away and say, oh, that was the best sermon ever I heard in my life. Neighbor, we don't need fairy tales. We need the truth of God preached in our country right now. Fables. There are a lot of people believe that there's no hell. The Bible says there is. And people who have died here and gone to hell would tell you in a minute if they come back, there is a place called hell. You said something comfortable, preacher. I don't like to think about hell. Now, but God put it in there for a reason. God said there's a heaven and there's a hell. And what you do with Jesus Christ determines which place you go. God put it in there. And if God put it in there, we ought to pay attention to the thing. No hell? Really? No hell. There was a man the other day that got up to give a speech. And he started giving his testimony. There's a man running for office someplace. He started giving his testimony. And they rushed the podium and took the microphone out of his hand and tried to stab the man in the United States of America. So they hated the name of God and hated everything about it. No hell. Somebody said, well, Brother Dave, here's what I believe. When somebody says that, you may as well just hold on to your billfold. You're fixing to get a whole load of hooey right there. They said, well, I believe that salvation is whatever you think it is, and we're all going to try to get in the same place. We're trying to get the same place. And I told the guy, I'm not. He said, you're not trying to go to heaven? I said, no, I already know I'm going to heaven because I trusted Jesus Christ. I said, I ain't trying to go in place. But they believe that salvation is a multiple choice. Well, I was raised Church of Christ. I was baptized, so I'm good. No, you're not. If all you got's baptism, you got nothing. You got nothing. Well, I'll tell you what, I was a Methodist, and I was baptized as a baby. You got nothing. You may as well pee your pants. I've done about as good as that. Come on. I'll tell you what, Brother Dave, I was raised a Roman Catholic, and I believe, you keep up the confession, you got nothing. Without Jesus Christ, we have nothing. None of us have nothing. Somebody said, I was raised a Baptist. So what? So what? Do you have Jesus? Are you a Baptist as Jesus Christ? Or you just come to a Baptist church and sit every Sunday and move your head and move your lips and have nothing in your heart? What a fairy tale you believe. What a fable you believe. Salvation is not multiple choice. Salvation is through one thing, and that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Back to Isaiah 30 one more time, please. Isaiah 30 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 12. Notice what he said down here. He reminds them of things they've said and what they wanted. And you say, well, that is just outlandish. I mean, that may have happened to you, but does that really happen now? Of course it does. Worse now than ever. In Isaiah chapter 30 and in verse 12. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. The Lord said this. God said this. He said, because I have called and ye refused, because I have held out my hand and you regarded not, he said, I'll laugh when your calamity cometh. And our country is in deep, deep trouble this morning. Our country is in deep trouble. We are finding out now that not only are our borders opening south and having all kinds of folks coming through that are, some of them are unsavory, some of them are people just trying to find a better life, I get it. But some of them are unsavory, some of them are even terrorists. But we're also finding out that fentanyl is coming through there by the tons and killing our people. We are electing to office people like that are transsexual, bisexual, whatever meds they are. Got a guy that's a transportation secretary now, that's married to a man. Do you think for a minute that God is pleased with that? That God is pleased with our country? We got all kinds of craziness going on. We got people that stand up and say, you cannot preach certain things or else we're going to take your tax exemption away. My thought on that has always been this: take it and let us alone. Amen. We're not going to back up on the truth of the Word of God. We have some fairly new neighbors where we live. Brother Mark, you can come. Miss Helen, you can come. Get ready for the invitation, if you would, please. We have some new neighbors where we live. We had a young couple next door to us that were just fine kids. They were good, and they moved away. And a lady moved in with a daughter, her daughter. I guess assume she's single or whatever. She's probably in her 30s. Nice folks. Nice people. And their yard joins ours, so a lot of times over the back fence, you talk to folks over the back fence. We talk to the older lady, the mother. And the daughter would always be sitting out there. And sometimes after working, I'd say hi to her, and she'd go over the fence, and I'd talk a little bit, and find her to church, things like that. Well, here not too long ago, we got up early one morning about 6 o'clock, and there was a life squad in front of the house, and there was a police car and a couple of other vehicles, emergency vehicles there. And we didn't know what went on. They were there for about an hour, and they all left. Nobody went with them. So I said, well, everything's all right. We found out later that the daughter had overdosed on methamphetamine. She was a meth addict, and she nearly died. And they got there in time to give her Narcan or whatever they give them, a lot of it, to bring her back. The mother told us that. So I never saw the girl out in the back anymore. We inquired about her and tried to, I said, could we, you know, we'd like to, we've been praying for her, been praying for you. And they said, well, just, she says, just keep praying for us, the mother. Well, about a month ago, early in the morning, a bunch of the medical units were there again. This time, they had life squads, they had all kinds of stuff. And I saw a last vehicle pull in. I got up and was looking out, it was early in the morning. And the last vehicle to pull in finally was the coroner. I said, dear Lord. This lady had, this girl had overdosed and took too much for them to bring her back. She died. She was in her mid-30s. Why? Because of drugs. Just drugs. As far as I know, a nice person, both of them are nice, A-B, but she was just hooked on that drug. I'm going to tell you something. You probably live next door to somebody like that on your street or on your road. And you and I have got to stay true to the Word of God. You and I have got to have something to offer these people other than what the world has to offer them. Amen. Let's stand together, our heads are bowed and our eyes closed. Just tell them, would you play softly, please, what has been chosen for us to play? We're going to sing in just a minute. I'd like to do this morning. Because I preach from the Bible, you all know it's true. I don't know anybody that would not contend that it's not true. But we have a great obligation for our country and for our neighbors and to ourselves. And Brother Mark's going to lead us in this hymn in just a minute. He said, I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. We know that judgment's coming. We know that from the Bible. We know that people must be ready. But you and I have got to be ready too. We've got to have our hearts right. We just came through a revival. We had a good revival. I saw the tears at this altar. I saw people hugging one another. I saw people standing around singing. That's signs. Thank God we had a good revival. Talked to Brother Dale. He said, man, that was one of the best meetings we ever had there. It was. But we can't live on yesterday's revival. You and I have got to get down to business for God. Here's what I ask us to do this morning. If you're able, if you're not praying in your seat, that's fine. But as many could come, could we gather in this altar and pray for our nation, our country? And maybe you got a neighbor or a friend, or you got a loved one. You've got somebody that's just teetering on the brink of destruction. It might be drugs, it might be something else. I don't know. And we need to pray for ourselves. We need to say, Lord, I want to stay close. And these days, I want to stay close to you. I don't want to get off far off. I don't want to walk away. I don't want to say to you, Lord, I don't want you in my life. That's what the Jews said. They said, get out of the way, God. We don't want you. We want God in our life. We got to have God in our lives. Maybe you see yourself getting cold. I do. I see myself getting cold sometimes. I have to stop and say, Lord, I don't want to go this way. This is bad for me. I don't want to go this way. Father, I pray now as we gather together to pray before we go home today. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd prick every heart. If there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, that's not truly born again, Lord, you know who they are and they know who they are. I pray, God, this would be the day they'd come to you and get the things settled once and for all. In Jesus' name, amen.